Okay, I'm not talking about that Medea dork.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 322, recorded on August 26, 2013. And welcome to the 322nd edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 155th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Jonah Falcon.
And I am Jordan Lund.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry. So, there's a little story behind this that you'll notice that there was no podcast last week. Now, what happens was that we had to delay the podcast to a Wednesday recording. The problem is that I had an all-day shoot from 1:30 p.m. to 3 a.m. on a film set. So I could not edit the podcast. Now, there was no way in heck I was going to release the podcast on Friday, then record a new one on Sunday or Monday and release one on Tuesday. That's just too short a period. So I decided just to skip the entire week and just record a new one with a couple of articles from last week, which are still relevant, plus this week's news.
That makes sense.
You know, so and the thing is, I have an entire podcast that I can post later as the lost episode. So it'll be fun that way. So what have you been playing, Jordan?
A couple of things. I picked up Dragon's Crown for the Vita and played through that, and then also got Scribblenauts Unlimited up and running on the Surface, which has been lots of fun.
So you can, because one of the benefits of having the Surface, for those of you who don't know, is that it'll run Windows software so long as the processor can handle it, and apparently your processor can handle it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Surface Pro. It's a one. It's an Intel i5 processor, so there's no issue running pretty much anything I want. So, it's a good little machine.
And again, you'll have to explain that he got it on sale when Microsoft slashed the price of everything. And the thing
actually,
is, what
I
remember, I paid
full price, and then they cut their price a week later, and they gave me an adjustment on it.
Okay, so. Because I remember that you were saving up for the Surface Pro.
I had been saving up for the Surface Pro, yes.
Yeah. So, there is a laptop being sold at Staples for the back to school, which is $249, down from $400, and I am considering very much blowing my wad on that because the old laptop that I have is old and creaky and ready to fall apart at the seams. So
that's the same problem I had. My netbook was 4 years old. So yeah, it was time to upgrade.
So we're going to move on to the first item. Microsoft points transformed into cash today. And by today, I mean today, the 26th of August, the day in which we are actually recording this podcast. Microsoft points have officially been retired, and now those points are in the players' accounts have been turned into real-world local currency. Microsoft pointed out a fact answering questions about the transition. As for purchasing Microsoft Points cards, you'll use local currency or an Xbox gift card denominated in your local currency, in addition to the other current payment methods available in your region to purchase your favorite content on the Xbox 360. What they're meaning is that the new cards they're going to be sending out are going to have the dollar total on them and not the Microsoft points total. However, what about those Microsoft points cards? The next time you initiate a purchase or redeem a Microsoft points card or code in your console with your Microsoft account, we'll add to your account the amount of currency equal to or greater than the marketplace value of your Microsoft points, and your Microsoft points will be retired. The currency we add to your account at the time of the transition will expire on the 1st of June 2015. However, the currency you purchase and add to your account after the transition will not expire. So basically what they're saying is, you know, you can use these Microsoft points cards, but don't be too late because not even that will be transferable in 2 years.
So. Gotcha.
And the update was today. And you won't believe this, but it looks more Metro-y, more like Windows 8 software. I could not believe it.
I haven't had a chance to fire it up today and take a look. When we recorded this last week, the lost episode on my birthday, and I got a points card for my birthday, which I immediately redeemed and used because I didn't know what they were going to be doing. So I went ahead and used it.
Well, I mean, you might as well. But like I said, they're usable until 2015. So, and what I did was I decided I was going to fake a purchase in that, you know, I was going to go and, you know, select something and, you know, try and buy it. You know, they have you confirm before they do it. And of course, Microsoft took a timeout and said, oh, by the way, we transferred all of your Microsoft points into 450 in real world cash. So
I need to find out how much my 200 points is worth.
That's 250.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's 250. Although, you know what? I think they might have upped my cash amount because I don't think what I had was 450's worth. I think what I had in Microsoft points was more like 250's worth or maybe $3 worth. So you might actually get more money than you thought. It'll be interesting to see if they give you 250 or if they give you more. Because as they said in this fact, you might actually get more money, you know,
right.
normal. So your thoughts on losing the script and going with real money?
I have no problem with it. I hope that they don't do what Sony does, and that is that, you know, they when you go to purchase dollars on your put dollars on your account, you have to put in a minimum dollar value. You can't just buy the product that you want. They make you put in $5 or $10 increments.
Huh. You know, I might try doing that, but I don't think Microsoft. It never really worked that way anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, when
you had to buy minimum point values, right?
Let's say you had a weird
point total. You couldn't purchase the exact number of points you need to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know.
Well, you know what? I could always try and do it. I won't do it now though. But I think they may just have you fill the rest of the amount if you don't have the exact point total. But like I said, I could see certain advantages of having a script system in which you didn't have to worry about currency. You just had a points. But I think a lot of people were upset at the fact that they always had leftover Microsoft points that they couldn't do anything with except maybe buy avatar items with.
Right. Like I have 200 points sitting on my account that I've not used because I got a 1600 point card and then I turned around and used it on BioShock Infinite, the season pass. So I still have 200 points.
I might try that because, you know, I am interested in the two story modes, the two story episodes that are coming up. I'm not that interested in the challenges, but, you know, if it comes with it, then why not?
Yeah, I think the challenges are all that's live right now.
Well, here's the thing is that the two story episodes cost more together than the entire season pass. So
exactly, and that's why I went for the season pass.
Yeah. So, have you tried the challenges?
Not yet. Nope.
Okay.
I also got the Halo Championship, the Halo Anniversary Edition for my birthday, and so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Are you do what I do and flip between old and new?
I have flipped between old and new. Even the old looks like it's been enhanced somehow. You know, running in high def is a big improvement.
I think the original Halo was actually you were actually able to upscale it to high def. They just didn't do it because it was the Xbox One.
Right.
You know. By the way, they just announced the Halo Game of the Year edition coming out. But oddly, I think it only has one of the DLC packs, which is strange. But then again, I think it's just cheaper. You know, I think it's like $29.99 or something like that. And I might pick it up because I don't own Halo 4. It's the first Halo I did not pre-order.
Hmm.
So maybe I'm not as hot on the Reclaimer.
Oh, Halo 4 Game of the Year edition. Okay, I thought you said Halo Game of the Year edition. I was like,
no.
Wait a second.
No. We're all waiting for the Halo 2 Anniversary Edition. And I'm wondering if that's going to be an Xbox One title. And if they do that, you know, they might as well make an Xbox One version of the Halo 1 Anniversary Edition. And it shouldn't be too hard because it's still DirectX, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Jordan.
Gamers can return digital titles on Origin after a week. This comes to us from Strategy Informer. Regret buying a bad game on Origin? Electronic Arts has now instituted a great game guarantee. If you think a game is not worth the price you paid for it on the publisher's digital distribution platform, you can return it and get your money back up to a week after purchase. According to EA's fact, hey, we have another fact going on. Bunch of facts around here. Starting August 19th, 2013, the Great Game Guarantee, GGG, allows you to return EA digital game downloads, PC or Mac, purchased on Origin for a full refund within 24 hours after you first launched the game, within 7 days from your date of purchase, or within 7 days from the game's release date if you pre-purchased/pre-ordered whatever came first. To clarify, we are absolutely honoring the 24-hour and 7-day GGG period starting August 19th, meaning that you can refund your unlaunched game from August 12th and your already launched game from August 13th.
Right. Now, one other thing is that they actually go through a process, so they will be able to detect whether you game the system. Like, if you, you know, if you spent 20 hours playing it in a single day, you know, just basically running through the campaign, they're going to say, no, you played the entire game. You're not getting that game back.
You know? Or, you know, what they used to do at retail, you know, I am a now 20 years in the past software, et cetera, employee, we used to cut people off after 3 returns. You return a game. You're obviously not interested in purchasing games. You're cut off.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that this isn't actually a refund. This is not credit. You know, you're not getting credit. You're actually getting your money back, which is a nice surprise.
I had to do that with an iOS game once. It flat out failed to launch. I don't think they tested it at all, and Apple refunded my 99 cents. But this is a lot more than 99 cents.
Yeah, and you know, it may seem very, very generous, but you know what? Not many people buy a PC game then return it. I mean, they're just not wired that. PC gamers tend to research their games very carefully. They don't buy stuff that they don't want. So essentially, you know, this is great PR for EA, and it is a great program, but, you know.
That and most places that sell PC games at retail have no return policy.
Neither does Steam. I mean, now you can actually, I think you can gift your, you can transfer ownership of a game to someone else on Steam. I'm not sure about that. Maybe the listeners will tell us about it. But I'm pretty sure that you can actually say, you know what, I don't want to have this game anywhere, but I want my friend to have it. So they transfer the ownership of that title. But this is the only place in the world in which you can actually return a PC game, let alone a digital one, it seems.
Right.
And another thing is that EA has their Humble Bundle going out right now. And right now it's raised $9 million for charity, for six charities. And you can tell. And I actually bought it. And since I spent $5 on it, I got all 8 games. Because what happens is they originally had 6 if you did higher than the average. And they added 2 more just for as a thank you. One of them, being Populous, the original 1989 Populous.
I remember Populous from Bullfrog.
Yeah.
Another one of EA's victims.
Well, I mean, DICE now runs EA, basically, from what I understand. Yeah. You know, because there's an article that I didn't post that Mirror's Edge 2, EA wanted it. DICE said that EA wanted it, but DICE said, nope, we're not going to do it until we're ready for it. Can you imagine that? A developer telling a publisher, a major publisher, saying, oh, you want a sequel? We're not ready for it, so you're going to have to wait. And the publisher saying, okay.
Which is, well, you know, do you want a good game or do you want a crap game? Exactly.
Well, remember, the DICE is the same people who told EA when they're dithering on whether to get the Star Wars license for Star Wars. They said, what are you waiting for? We want to make a game with Star Wars. Do it already and stop trying to, you know, haggle with these people. Just do it.
Right.
So
stop being stupid.
Yeah. So it's funny how the evil is leaving EA after John Riccitiello left. I mean, it's true. I
mean, do you prefer to see it as evil or stupidity? Because it could be either, right?
Yeah, but which is worse?
I don't know.
Anyway, speaking of Star Wars, see, we actually got a segue there without
even... We got a segue, yeah.
Bungie feels Destiny can be bigger than Halo, as big as Star Wars, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. And by the way, this is a long-ass interview, and I had to pare it down just to get the relevant points. Bungie Chief Operating Officer, or COO, for those of you who are in business, Pete Parsons is aiming high. I love that name, by the way. It's a nice alliterative name, isn't it? Pete Parsons.
Sounds like something out of a comic book.
Or you know,
Lucky News Boy, Pete Parsons.
Yeah, but it also sounds something very close to Peter Piper, you know?
Yes.
Peter Parsons picked a pickup. Whatever. he feels that the studio's upcoming massively multiplayer shooter Destiny, which will be published by Activision, aims not only to surpass Halo in the cultural mind space, but will be the equal of Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and Harry Potter. Parsons expressed, we like to tell big stories and we want people to put the Destiny universe in the same shelf as they put the IPs I just mentioned, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Star Wars. We've already seen we've already seen them do that with Halo. We are extremely proud of what we achieved with Halo. I'm pretty convinced that we're going to do it again with Destiny in a way that maybe even Halo has never achieved before. However, Parsons stresses Destiny is not an MMO. It's just a shooter that happens to be massively multiplayer and a huge world to explore. Bungie designed it that way. So he says, when you think about the public space, we think less about MMO attributes and more about stringing together storytelling. Here's a whole bunch of people moving from one place to the other, but for the moment in time, we can all come together and say, hey, we should take down enemies together. I could just sit here and watch, and I'm sorry, I could just sit there and people watch. I don't need to join in, or I can join in and get a reward for it. So for us, it's about how do we bring people together? How do we move the social more to the center of what we've done? And I would argue that we've been trying to do that for a long time, but the technology and learning wasn't there. Now, it sounds to me like, you know, that's what Halo might have been, you know, the multiplayer, had they had the technology to, you know, just have people running around a massive, wide open world.
Well, that, and I find it interesting that he's comparing it to intellectual properties that have been turned into games, but did not originate as games, right? So he's looking to basically be the first video game franchise that elevates to the level of a Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter. I'd like to see it happen. Well, I don't know yet if this is going to be the game to do it.
Halo's come pretty darn close. I mean, it took over Times Square at one point, you know?
And, you know, they had Halo Slurpee cups and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And but, you know, all of the associated, you know, books and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But they're not about to make a Halo TV show, or are they?
Oh, no. They did a movie.
Microsoft has movie. That for, well, a direct-to-DVD movie, yeah, right?
Forward Unto Dawn.
Forward Unto Dawn, yeah.
Yeah.
The actual movie got tanked, but...
Yeah. I mean, Neil Blomkamp still wants to do it, but you know what? Yeah. Misa thinks Bungie better aim higher than Star Wars. So, if you looked at the Strategy Informer link, I included a picture of Jar Jar Binks, and it said, aim higher, Bungie. So, I mean, you've already expressed a lot of interest in this game.
It looks like a very good game. And I think the way he's positioning it, saying, you know, it's not an MMO, is a good thing. Because I've already talked to people who, you know, when I've told them about Destiny, they're like, yeah, I'm not interested in MMOs. And you have to explain, no, it's not an MMO. It's actually a shooter. But there are MMO moments, right? Well, you'll come over a ridge and, hey, there's a party event. And now you can see other people who are in the same landscape that you were in. And then when the event's over, you break up and go your independent ways. So, you know, it's going to bring a type of gameplay to consoles that hasn't been seen before.
Well, I mean, the thing is that Planetside 2. But the problem with Planetside 2 is I don't think it's an MMO enough. That's the problem.
Planetside 2 has never been on consoles.
That's true. I mean, but I'm just saying about Planetside 2, you know. By the way, do you remember that MMO FPS that never happened that just is vaporware? And I forgot the name of it, but it was a five-letter word. It sounded vaguely like Nexus or something like that. And it was supposed to be the big console first-person shooter MMO, and it never materialized. And I forgot what it was called.
I don't recall either. But, you know, I have the Google, so let's see what Google says.
So we're going to move on to the next item, and this one's also a science fiction shooter, and it's coming to a desolate wasteland right now. Take it away, Jordan.
Sure. Borderlands 2 coming to PlayStation Vita. This comes to us from GameSpot. Gearbox's software well-received 2012 first-person shooter Borderlands 2 will arrive on the PlayStation Vita in 2014. Sony, Gearbox, and 2K announced today at Gamescom. Well, a couple of days ago at Gamescom. According to Gearbox software product manager Adam Fletcher, in the past year, the studio has been inundated with emails, tweets, and forum posts asking for a PS Vita version of the game.
All five of them, one of which was you.
It wasn't me. You spoke, we listened, Fletcher said. Borderlands 2 for PS Vita is a collaborative effort between 2K, Sony, and Iron Galaxy Studios, the independent developer being fighting game Divekick.
Behind, I should say.
The independent developer behind fighting game Divekick. The PS Vita version of Borderlands 2 will feature all the unique benefits of the portable, Fletcher said. It's not clear if any of the Borderlands 2 downloadable content will be available for the PS Vita version. Speaking at indie game event Rezzed in July 2012, Gearbox Software CEO Randy Pitchford said he wanted to see Borderlands 2 on the PS Vita. One of the things I wish Sony would do is get behind Borderlands because I'd love to see a Vita version of the game, he said at the time. I want to be able to have the character I'm working on with my PS3, and when I'm on the road with my Vita, I can just keep developing that same character because it exists on the cloud somewhere.
Now, you know, one thing that springs to mind is that the Vita version is probably going to be the PS4 version. And, you know, one of the reasons why they can do this is because it's very easy to port something from the PS3/PS4 to the Vita. You know, I mean, that's what they do with PSN games. So that it probably didn't take that much, work to do it. But it does, you know, I mean, I sent you a list of the PlayStation Vita games that are listed as coming out. And there's a list of 12 of them, and you disparaged a couple of them as just being awful PSN games.
There were a lot of awful PSN games for the Vita this year. To give you some example, I ran the numbers earlier today, right? Uh-oh. There were so far up till tomorrow, right? There have been 48 PS Vita games released this year. Only 13 have been actual physical releases. The rest have all been digital. Wow. And that's kind of the kiss of death, because people who buy the Vita go to a store to buy a Vita, and they look at the same shelf of games that is sitting there stagnant for 2 years, and they pass on the hardware. And that's right. What's killing the platform.
And right next to it is the 3DS list of games, and it's like overflowing. A lot of them may be crap, but there's a lot of them, you know? Now, here's the thing is that the downloadable content is interesting because Gearbox just announced a second set of DLC
that's going to
have
have
another season pass for. And the thing that I'm wondering is, what if they made the Borderlands 2 for the Vita $49.99 game, but included both sets of DLC?
See, that's the only way the Vita version is going to survive, because if they just do a straight Borderlands 2 port, nobody's going to buy it because everybody's already played it.
At least have the first season at the very minimum.
Yeah, at the very minimum, they have to include the first season or, you know, make Borderlands 2 a $20 game. I mean, that's your choice.
Now, it's going to be very interesting. Now,
if anybody is still even bothering to make Vita games in 2014.
You know what would really be cool, though, is to – well, they'd have to have it. But, you know – I forgot Sony's term for this. But, you know, two Vitas, System Link, you know, I think – ad hoc, right. Ad hoc multiplayer with a friend who has a Vita, so you both can be playing with Vitas next to each other. And
yeah, but you'd have to find somebody else who has a Vita.
Yeah, that's the rub. But, you know – But you see, they have to do something with the Vita because it's just dying on the vine right now.
It's absolutely dying on the vine. And after the PS4 comes out, it's only going to get worse, because who's going to develop for a Vita platform that has maybe a million users versus the PS4, which is immediately going to outstrip the Vita's installed user base. And but the PS4 games will work on the Vita.
You know what might be interesting is that, you know who might buy Vitas after they get another price cut? Xbox One users, who will be able to enjoy PSN games from Sony's library, but not have to buy a PS4.
That's true.
You know, I mean, that way you're getting the best of both worlds, and you'll have a handheld that isn't necessarily the 3DS, and you'll oh, by the way, the new Professor Layton game is selling like hotcakes. You know,
there's a fourth or fifth Layton game now.
I believe it's the crossover with Ace Attorney.
Oh, I think that's the one that's the Ace that's Attorney sold. Game is finally out.
Yeah,
they've been talking about for 3 years.
Yeah, so you know, when's the last time you heard of a Vita game selling hotcakes? I mean, something like Journey isn't going to work. You know, on what's it called? You can't have PSN games. You have to have full games. You know.
The PSN games that are out there are by and large crap. And
you already own all the good ones.
you already own all the good ones. And the other thing is Sony is pushing, and Microsoft to a certain extent as well, is pushing indie development. I have yet to see an indie game that's worth my time. And I've looked at quite a few of them by and large. And you know, nobody's going to spend $200 on a new piece of hardware to play an indie game that doesn't even stress the PC that they currently have.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, all the good ones that people might want to have are already out of and played to death. Right. And even if you made a bundle, say, of Braid and Castle Crashers and, you know, all the, you know, the ones that were really, really popular on Xbox BLA and finally made it to PSN. You know, if you even made a bundle of that for $19.99, that might work. But people, you know, it'd be like they'd run through it and say, okay, I'm done. What next?
Nobody's going to run out and spend $200 on new hardware to play old games.
Unless they turn it into a phone. And, yeah. You know. Anyways, that also segues into the next item. Sony announces 33 quote-unquote launch titles for the PlayStation 4. This comes to us from GameZone. Today, Sony, at Gamescom, Sony announced the PlayStation 4 will be debuting on the 15th of November in North America and the 29th in Europe. And it would have 33 titles for the quote-unquote launch window. I can just hear Paul without even – I could just hear – see steam coming out of his ears at the term launch window.
The launch window is through December 31st.
Well, no.
It is. It's through the end of the year, which is December 31st.
Okay, so it isn't included there because Infamous Second Son was confirmed as a February 2014 release.
Correct.
So 15 of the games are going to be disc-based, which is the ones we really care about because those digital download ones, I have a strong, you know, I didn't really think any of them were any good.
Well, even if they were good, they're invisible at retail, right? Yeah. So they don't provide an incentive for people to buy the hardware.
Right. So the games are NBA 2K14, multi-platform. I'm going to note the ones that are multi-platform here. So the ones that are not multi-platform, okay, let's do this straight. NBA 2K14, Call of Duty Ghosts, Skylanders Swap Force, Need for Speed Rivals, Battlefield 4, Madden NFL 25, FIFA 14, NBA Live 14, Killzone Shadowfall, Drive Club, Knack, Assassin's Creed 4, Watch Dogs, Just Dance 2014, and LEGO Marvel Superheroes. Of those, I believe only Killzone Shadowfalls, Drive Club, and Knack are multi-platform.
No,
only Killzone, Drive Club, and Knack are not multi-platform.
Correct, yeah.
It's a great launch. This is the best launch type that I've ever seen on a console in the history of consoles. You know, with Microsoft, but that's only because of all the third-party software.
Exactly. But between the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 launch titles, we're going to have more new games to pick from in a single month than we've ever had before.
Well, it's not only that, but good games. I mean, how many Azeroths
do you see? Well, potentially good games. We don't really know yet, but yeah.
Okay, not even that, though. I mean, which of these games that are multi-platform do you have severe doubts about?
Maybe Knack. Skylanders, I don't understand, but that's, you know, my fault for not being 10.
I'm talking about the multi-platform games.
Yeah, yeah. And Skylanders is a multi-platform.
Yeah,
but
Skylanders is like crack, you know? I mean, people love to collect those figurines and play it.
I personally don't understand it, but yeah.
The other thing that I noticed, by the way, of all of these games, only two of them, three of them, are not sequels. Drive Club, Knack, and Watch Dogs. And that's probably the biggest question isn't Watch Dogs. But we've seen enough of Watch Dogs to have a good guess that it's going to be pretty good. But all of them are sequels, you know?
Well, LEGO Marvel Superheroes is a sequel in a LEGO sense, but they haven't done Marvel characters before.
Yeah, well, how is it going to be any different, say, than Indiana Jones or Pirates?
True. It's going to be yet another LEGO game.
But, you know, it's a good formula.
And they're doing LEGO Marvel Superheroes for the Vita as well, which is kind of exciting.
Okay. Well, I guess so, since it'll be a new game that you could just say, oh, I'm not going to buy the PS4 game version. I'm going to buy the Vita version, which is going to be interesting because the Vita, the handheld versions of all the LEGO games have always been a little bit different, a little more platformy, 2D platformy than the main games. If I remember correctly, I haven't played any of them in a long, long while.
Yeah, LEGO Batman on the Vita pretty much blew. It was direct port of the 3DS version.
Okay. So we're going to move from the PS4 launch titles to the Xbox One launch titles. And I will do this as well since, you know, they're basically one item, you know.
Yeah.
The Xbox One.
New games. Woo!
The Xbox One will be launching in November. They did not give an exact date, and in Europe in 2014, and will have the following launch day titles. Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, and these, by the way, thankfully are in alphabetical order. Assassin's Creed 4, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty Ghosts, Crimson Dragon, Dead Rising 3, FIFA 14, The Fighter Within, Forza Motorsport 5, Just Dance 2014, Killer Instinct. I think that's a digital title, by the way, Killer Instinct.
I think it is. It's Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah. But, you know, it's still major enough that, you know, it's a remake of a popular IP.
It's something fans have been asking for since Microsoft bought Rare.
I have no idea why, because that fighting game, everybody says, is subpar.
It really is a bad game.
But it's,
you know,
stylish.
I said the same thing about Perfect Dark, and I was outshouted. And then Perfect Dark Zero came out, and it sucked. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Killer Instinct, by the way, I think people have been raving about the early build. So I think it actually takes what was good about the game and fixes what was bad about the game. You know, because the one thing, the animation is a lot better than it was in the game. Even at the time, you know, in which it had motion capture, it still looked jerky.
It was to video games what Image Comics was to comic books circa 1995.
But on the other hand, you know, people people had no standards when it came to fighting games, especially if they were in the arcade. They were there, just fight. You know, Lego Marvel Super Heroes, Loco Cycle, which is Twisted Pixels game, Madden NFL 25, NBA 2K14, NBA Live 14, Need for Speed Rivals, Peggle 2. By the way, they just announced that Peggle 2 would be a limited time exclusive on the Xbox One.
I loved how they did that at E3. Peggle 2! Yeah!
And the thing is that it's not even going to be on PC for a couple of months, which is really burning a lot of people's craws that I know. Because, you know, the thing is that PC isn't a direct competitor with Xbox One. But I guess Microsoft is playing hardball and says, listen, you know what? We want this to be an Xbox One. So even if you have a PC, if you want to play in the first couple of months, you better get an Xbox One. Power Star Golf. I have no idea what that is. Rise, Son of Rome, Skylanders Swap Force, Watch Dogs, Zoo Tycoon, and Zumba Fitness World Party. And the one title that stands out to me is Zoo Tycoon. That is an IP that's been nowhere for a long, well, not nowhere, but, you know, has been relegated to just the 3DS for a very long time.
They've let it lane fallow.
And I'm glad to see it because I like the concept in which you're building a zoo and you have to put the animals. And if you want to be sadistic, you can put the lions with the zebras and then watch National Geographic as they tear them apart.
Damn, nature, you scary.
So, of all of these games, I already know that you're really hyped up on Watch Dogs. And yeah. What was the other one that you were really interested in?
Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag are the two that I'm going to get at launch.
Right. PS4.
For the PS4, yeah. I already have my PS4 on order. I'm ready to go.
And Xbox One.
Yeah.
You know,
Crimson,
I really wish...
Crimson Dragon looks interesting, but, you know, it's the latest iteration in the Panzer Dragoon saga. I have all the previous Panzer Dragoons. I don't know that I really want to play that kind of game again.
But you know what? Maybe you'll have a friend who also owns an Xbox One, and you can just go over to their place and play there, and then he goes over to your place and plays there. That's the good old days. Remember when everybody had a different console, and if you didn't own that console, you just go to a friend and just sit down and grab the controller and play their game?
That's true.
You know, it's like, oh, you own an SNES, I own a Genesis. Let's swap off, you know? If you want to play this, if you want to play Mortal Kombat, come on over, you know?
And everybody had to have the right version of Mortal Kombat because, you know, the Super Nintendo version sucked.
Well, that's just it. You had to go to the guy with the Genesis. That's what I was talking about. I'm really interested in Dead Rising 3 because they took a lot of what was skin-irritatingly annoying about the first two Dead Risings. For instance, the fact that it was timed, you know, that annoyed the hell out of me. And especially if you're getting all these messages, oh, someone's trapped over there, but I don't have time, so I have to leave them and die, whatever. You know, it's an open world. Let us explore. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of zombies. You're not letting us get to see them because we have to run past them.
The timed event on the first one made it more or less unplayable.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the boss fights either. The boss fights were entirely too hard.
Guys in that Jeep with the machine gun that cut you off from just going across the lawn to get to the other side quickly.
Right.
Those were if ever I wanted to throw a game out the window just to watch it splatter on the ground, that was the time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I could not stand that. And there's a lot of, and you know, I don't mind the checkpoints of, say, having to go to the bathroom to save your game. That didn't irritate me as much. It was the timed nature of it. And God forbid, you know, Otis just wanted me to kill life on Earth. You know, I wanted him to become a zombie.
There are certain games that have turned me off an entire series. And the first Dead Rising was one. The first Dead Space was another one.
Also, let's see, Dragon Age was another one.
Dragon Age, and Fable
demo,
3.
And the demo for Mass Effect 3. Yes, we get it. So I'm really looking forward to Watch Dogs. I'm going to be getting the Xbox 360, the PC version first. So, you know, because, you know, I'm just impatient that way. I think Peggle 2 is okay. You know, it's great, but it's not going to want to buy it.
I vaguely remember Peggle. I think I had Peggle for the Xbox Live Arcade on the 360 when it first came out. I don't remember.
I have Peggle and Peggle Knights, you know. And
I think I might have played it once. I don't remember.
Forza is definitely something I'm going to be picking up. You know, because I like Forza. You know, I had Forza 3, and I skipped 4, and I skipped Horizon, so I'm ready for Forza again. Especially since I knew that there was going to be a definitive version in the next generation anyway.
I'm not a big racing game fan. The only racing games that I've liked have been Metropolis, Street Racer, and Project Gotham.
But here's the thing.
I might take a look at Drive Club. I don't know.
But here's the thing, is that Forza is the racing simulator for people who don't like racing simulators. Because if you suck, you know, it has it you know what it does? It says, okay, if you really need a lot of help, you can have it. Oh, you don't want any help whatsoever and you want us to turn off certain things? Okay, you can have that too. I mean, however hardcore or softcore you want to be, it'll let you be, you know? It's not like a certain other game, Gran Turismo, in which it makes you want to fall asleep at the controller.
Gran Turismo, you know, a lot of people talk about it as a definitive driving game, and it's a definitive motor vehicle simulator. But initially, when you start playing it, until you get up to a point where you can upgrade your car, it's pointless playing that thing. It's like steering a boat. It's terrible.
Now, one thing that was announced today was that Xbox employees were going to get a special Xbox One, and everybody who's seen this has said, I want it. Even in the comments in the IGN article where this is from, there were several people who said, I'm a PlayStation, you know, I'm loyal to PlayStation, but damn, I would love to own that. I mean, I hope Microsoft is looking at and listening to this and thinking, you know what? Instead of, now, this is what it is. It's a white Xbox One with black paneling on the sides, but I guess that's where the hard drive goes, you know. Right. And a white controller and a Kinect, a black Kinect, but with white paneling on the sides.
Yeah, it's all two-tone.
You know, and the thing is that, you fools, why are you giving this to employees if the customers want it? You know, if the customers want it, release a special edition saying the special edition white, you know.
Well, what's going to happen is the employees are going to turn it around on eBay for a quick $1,000.
God, yeah. But you know what? If Microsoft was smart, you know, I mean, this looks like a next generation Xbox. The yeah. Xbox One, the black one, does not look like a next generation Xbox. It looks like a stereo controller.
It looks like an anonymous black box, yes.
But this looks like the Xbox 360 of the future, the near future. You know, it looks like what a next generation Xbox 360 looks like. And I'm thinking, where are your marketing teams? Why did they not consider that people might want to have an Xbox One that looks like an Xbox 360, except better?
Yeah.
You know? So I actually did something, and I actually wrote to Larry Herb, aka Major Nelson, and explained to him, listen, you guys got to tell, you know, your higher ups that there's a strong demand from this, from actual customers who are actually willing to put down money on this. You know, it's nice that, you know, if you want to give your employees a special Xbox, just do the white Xbox and have a fluorescent green logo on it, you know, or something like that. By the way, the day
a sticker.
One.
Give them a sticker.
day one Xbox 360 will just have in print on the controller and on the Xbox day one, and nothing really all that special. This should be day one. This will say, this is day one. Okay? It looks different. And you know what? Nintendo knows this. People will buy the same console if it's a different color.
Well, and here's the thing, though. Microsoft has made enough critical errors this year that they're essentially forcing out Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer's being forced out because of the whole Surface RT fiasco. But
Steve Ballmer made a lot of bad predictions. I mean, remember back in 2007, he said that the iPhone would never catch on.
Yeah. So Ballmer's going to be gone sometime in the next 12 months. It'll be interesting to see how that changes Microsoft's focus. The talk is that whoever new comes in is going to have to change the culture at Microsoft.
Well,
and I think that's a good way to go.
I think they already have someone in-house, though. I think they already have someone in-house, Phil Harrison.
Phil Harrison is CEO?
Yes, of course. Mm. He knows how to market to Europe, right? The Microsoft at Gamescom got way more visibility and press than they ever have in Europe, right? I'm pretty sure it was his idea for Microsoft to have their conference at Gamescom, you know?
The FIFA giveaway was freaking brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, well, Sony responded, well, you can get it and still be paying £40 less, but no, people don't care about that. It's free. Even if you're spending, you know, people know that the extra 100 is for the Kinect, right?
It's called value added, yes.
But I'm just saying, they know it's for the Kinect, right? So
oh, absolutely, okay. Yeah.
So they understand that.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, I mean, Phil Harrison would be a good choice. I mean, he's never been that high, you know, in the corporate world. But, you know, you gotta give this guy a chance, you know. He's never really made a wrong move, unlike... the guy who lied about Jack Tretton, you know, he's never pulled a Jack Tretton. He's never been temporarily fired like WADA? Was it WADA? No. Who is the president of Sony?
You're talking about the CEO or
yeah, now he's CEO. Yoichi WADA? No, that's Nintendo.
Howard Stringer was the guy before.
No, God, no. Howard Stringer is the kiss of death. He's failed at everything. I mean, CBS, whatever have you. I mean, the entire David Letterman fiasco is his fault.
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, anyways, all I'm saying is that you have a lot of hungry gamers who would love to have that next-gen Xbox 360, you know? Oh, by the way, have you seen this? Have you seen a photo of the original Xbox? And it says in bold letters, "The Xbox One before it was cool."
Are you talking about the chrome, the giant chrome X?
No, just a picture of the Xbox, the original Xbox, and it says, "I was the Xbox One before it was cool."
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, anyways, now is Jennifer there?
Jennifer is here.
Okay. Jennifer? So, Jennifer, why don't you join us for this one?
The Sims 4 emotional gameplay revealed at Gamescom. This comes to us from Strategy Informer. Electronic Arts unveiled the first gameplay of their upcoming virtual life simulator, The Sims 4, and the slogan for this iteration is Mind, Body, Heart. The UI will be far sleeker with fewer buttons and minimalist interface. For instance, individual Sims seem to have a single floating notification showing their emotional state. It remains to be seen if the UI is adjustable. It could be the status bars were toggled off to make the presentation more cinematic. Home creation and sim customization has been made far more intuitive. Rooms can be stretched and sized, and in the case of second floors, merely dropped onto the first floor. Gamers can finally cut and paste rooms as well as have pre-furnished rooms. Similarly, sim creation is more intuitive as gamers can literally stretch and pull at Sims. Some of the Sims created have more extreme body shapes, that is, really fat or rail thin, something players have been pulling for. Sims will also have individual walking styles as well. One of the bigger updates is the emotional states of Sims, who will be defined by their mood. Happy, sad, angry, romantic, all of these moods affect a Sim's behavior and actions. Sad and angry Sims can't romance, but they can paint and swing at punching bags to blow off steam, respectively. The emotions can be manipulated in several ways. Sim objects like violins can play a sad song to make a Sim sadder. A voodoo doll can make them angry, while decorations, paint, and furniture can influence emotional states as well. A particularly phallic painting of a girl riding a rocket can make a Sim more romantic. The Sims 4 will be released on PC in 2014 and will be, as EA stresses, a single-player offline experience.
Now, Jennifer, did you actually see the video for this from Gamescom?
Yeah, I actually watched the trailer, and it looks really amazing. And I poked around with this specifically because I finally got a virtual machine onto my Mac that will allow me to install all of the Sims 3 games that I have. So I've got the base game and a couple of add-ons and a couple of stuff packs. So I just, like, literally just went through the whole create a sim process yesterday. And yeah, I mean, you can make some pretty amazing looking Sims in The Sims 3. It's certainly a real leap forward from the original.
But this is The Sims 4.
This is The Sims 4, and what I'm seeing here really does look like just a quantum leap beyond even what we're playing with now.
I mean, boobs. It's a boob simulator.
Well, stop. You can make boobs bigger in The Sims 3. In fact, I totally gave my sim a rockin' rack.
But the thing is that, you know, that was one thing about bothered me about, you know, the previous Sims, and that they all had basic body shapes. Now, in The Sims 3, they could have a little bit of a paunch, or they could have lines to show they were becoming defined, but you never really had, say, a huge grandma, you know, whose belly is huge and all that. And you
yeah,
know,
you're not going to make Medea in The Sims 3. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and you know, and also something small like having them have individual walking styles is
really.
You mean
you can't chop up your family and feed them?
No. Oh, stop.
We're getting some mythological references.
Sorry, you say Medea, and I only think of one Medea.
Okay, I'm not talking about that Medea, dork.
So, now, your impressions of the entire... Now, I think... The presentation, I think they turned off the UI because they wanted to make it more cinematic at Gamescom, so you couldn't see the bars. But, you know, the thing is that I'm really looking forward to seeing how, you know, the emotions are. I mean, one of the emotions that they didn't that I didn't mention was confident. So I'm wondering how they're going to deal now with personality types.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that this being EA, they're going to be the YOLO swagger Broheims are going to be, you know, fairly represented. They have been for a while, but I think they'll be a little bit more so here.
You know, what's funny is that there's a lot of attention paid to the families that came with it. Like, you'll see fanfic about the goths. I mean, it's like,
oh my god,
I mean,
seriously?
It's just like, you know, these families just are like come with it, and they have little backstories in it, right? But people have really gotten into these families with the goths and, you know, the other family that has.
Well, yeah, if you want to run it like, you know, your own personal little soap opera, you can. You want to talk about fan fiction. Here's something that's a little creepier, and I see more potential for it with this new iteration of the game. There are videos on YouTube of, you know, webisodes. I can only imagine that they're doing this with other shows, but people have made Sims of the Glee cast and, you know, have run with it.
Yeah, you can really have some
Firefly scripts.
Well, you can always have, you know, lock one of the members of Glee into a small little shack and have them watch him piss and starve to death in there. Begging to
get out. Oh my god. I think there have been whole psych papers written about, you know, the people who do this sort of thing.
Sims 3 did not have the same thing as Sims 2 when you had a failure state for your aspirations. Like when a family-oriented sim, if their aspirations hit zero, they would go completely nuts, pull out a burlap sack with a face drawn on it, and start treating it like a real baby until a psychiatrist came and tried to cheer them up. I mean, you don't have that in The Sims 3, you know? And that's
I have to admit, I don't seem to remember. Like, you'd get the bunny rabbit.
The bunny rabbit would come as well. And
yeah, if you were that lonely, if you were that lonely, you would have, you know, like the bunny rabbit would come and talk to you, or you'd have an imaginary friend or whatever.
The aspiration failure, the, you know, like romantic aspiration failure and family aspiration failure. I mean, they would just go completely bonkers.
Well, yes. And I think people probably, the developers probably decided that that was a little too cartoonish and possibly a little too depressing. I'm only guessing.
It's not depressing. It's funny.
Well, okay. Yeah. If you have a particular, you know, if that sort of thing amuses you.
That can't happen unless you force it to happen. I'm just going to say that. You can't naturally have an aspiration hit zero unless you're actively making them do it, right?
No, that's true. And if you have your free will cranked all the way to high, which I do, because nobody wants marionettes. I mean, if I wanted little paper dolls, I would be doing something completely different. The thing that I find interesting is, you know, winding up all these little tops, giving them all different traits and personalities, setting them down and watching them go. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I will nudge them in one direction or another, you know, and I'm not going to lie. All of my Sims are kind of avatars for myself.
I do that, too. I mean,
you know, not that that's creepy or anything.
It's a fantasy life.
It may be a little creepy when you consider that my husband is not a touchy-feely individual, and already his stand-in sim is, you know, macking on mine more. I mean, seriously, like, he's the one that's been pushing all of the romantic interaction in the Sims that I just created.
Now, the other thing that we have to discuss, which I think is very good, is having the construction of houses being simpler. Now, here's the thing. Yes, it's okay to, you know, be very specific, you know, and do it one by one on the house that you're creating for yourself. But a lot of people, they find it incredibly boring, have to quickly make another house for the other Sim families that their Sim families can interact with. You just want to have these houses plonked down and not be just, you know, sometimes in The Sims 3 or Sims 2, you cheat and you just make a box with a toilet and a phone and his fridge so they don't starve and just leave it at that, you know, leave them in utter poverty. But here, actually, you can actually just cut and paste these things. And
what I can envision, and you know, you'd probably appreciate this joke. I don't know if any of our other listeners will, all, you know, five of them, but I have it makes me happy to think of going and finding the floor plans for the original Levittown houses and making that house. And then just doing a copy paste into an entire subdivision.
Oh, great. And you know, we have virtual tract housing now. Bravo!
Exactly. And, you know, you can be just as horrible or wonderful as you'd like. If you want to be really awful about it, then you can be the real estate agent and start redlining. And
you know what? They have to, you know, at some point, the guys at EA Maxis have to start looking at Minecraft and start taking inspiration from that for doing The Sims. I'm willing to bet you that maybe someone will recreate the entire Disney castle in one of the things. I mean,
it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And it also occurs to me what I was seeing with the push and poke and you know, being able to just, you know, touch things rather than have the sliders visible.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of this is EA and Maxis realizing that they're designing and developing for platforms that are touch enabled as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, yeah, okay, fine. You can do the sliders if you want to.
Well, what if they, it's sort of like a smart glass situation in which you can use your tablet along, you know, in conjunction with what's on the screen? You know,
that's, yeah. Well, and Jordan just mentioned the Kinect.
It's not announced for console. It's just for PC right now.
Well, yeah, we don't know yet what format beyond just PC, but I've played enough now with Jordan's Surface tablet that I can totally see you know, a full-on operating system that's with a touch interface that would lend itself very well to the kind of UI that we were seeing in that trailer.
Yeah. So I'll just have to wait until 2014, unfortunately. By the way, I did the Humble Bundle, so I got The Sims 3, which I already own, but I also got two expansions that I didn't have with it.
Which ones did you get?
Late Night and the High End Loft. The High End something. I forgot what it's called. But yeah, I know Late Night is one of them.
I picked up, I had a copy of The Sims 3, and I don't know where the bleep it went, so I had to repurchase it again. I was at...
you could have just done the Humble Bundle for $5 and gotten two expansions for free, you know, and a bunch of other games that other people in the family might want to play.
Had I but known, with the last time we were at the mall...
It's still available, though, by the way. That Humble Bundle is still available until
Have to poke around and see what's there. I'm just really picky about the games that I buy because I guess I'm a little more casual than I like to admit. Yesterday, I spent most of my day getting all of the download stuff. And can I spare a moment to bitch about the fact that I bought all of these games on physical media and yet... Origin forced me to log in and download the damn thing.
Well, that's not so bad because what happens is when you go onto another thing, like I'd had with my own PC when I transferred to the other PC, my stuff was waiting for me. So, I mean, that's the benefit of Origin and Steam is that, you know, when you move to another PC, you can just re-download it. All your saves are there and all that stuff. So it's...
Oh, no, and I totally get that. What I'm saying is that Origin has it backwards. Instead of making me download the game from their servers, I should be able to install from the physical media and have Origin recognize that I own these games and thus hold on to them that way so that if I get a new machine, I can just, you know, download them and all my saves are there and, you know, whee. So I think they're doing it backwards.
This is listener feedback and from Paul Pretke. Hi, guys. Missed the last two episode comment cycles. Vacation. Yeah. So I'll start with the question of the week from the previous episode, if you don't mind. Pre-orders. Up to this point, I only pre-ordered one game, which was The Last of Us. The hype around it was so enormous, I knew that if I didn't play it, it would get spoiled immediately. It was scheduled to be released on a Friday, and I got an email from my local store to come by and pay for the game. There was no pre-order fee on a Wednesday. To my surprise, the man behind the counter reached behind him and gave me the game 2 days before the official release date. Unfortunately, I couldn't stay up all night playing since I had to go teach a class the next morning. That's why I decided to pre-order my PS4 there as well. This is your typical Best Buy store, so they don't know much about consoles specifically. So maybe they'll release the console a couple of days before as well.
That would be cool.
Yeah. At the PS Vita price drop. That's great news. As we discussed previously, it all comes down to what you expect from your handheld console. If you don't only want AAA Vita titles, but you're happy with the ports, cross-buy games, or indie titles, this is a device to get. The games look great, they play really well, and if you're a PSN Plus subscriber, you really don't have to pay much for games since the European PSN Plus lineup is pretty good. I also love it if they also did bundles with a card and a game or a PSN Plus subscription cheaper. The way to go to sell the system is to make games for it.
Yeah. Sony needs to turn loose their internal studios and crank out a whole bunch of games.
Original games, by the way. We're not
original games. Yep.
Best case scenario, make the memory card specs open so that other manufacturers can make them as well, reducing the prices. No way in hell. No way in hell is Sony going to do that. Those memory cards are going to be proprietary until the sun burns out.
They could license the current card format to SanDisk or somebody else and get some third-party cards.
No, but that's still not having an open format.
It's still not having an open format, but, you know, it's better than what it is now. You know, it's not the same as the Memory Stick Pro Duo that the PSP supported, but, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of the Vita, I recently platinumed Rayman Origins and Need for Speed Most Wanted. I'm currently playing Guacamelee, and all those games are just fun. Just reiterating my point that this handheld is great. Well,
I agree the handheld is great. I just wish there was more good games.
Yeah. It sort of reminds me of the Dreamcast, by the way, you know, in which they're just killing it, you know. At Ridiculous Indie Games, I find the idea of such games interesting and funny, but I'm not compelled to play them at all. I maybe could watch someone else play it or watch a YouTube gameplay video. You know, just watch that baby giving birth game, which you shoot the baby across the room.
Extreme Baby Maker.
Yeah. I just don't feel like devoting my time to such a little while there are other games I'd rather be playing. Granted, I played Quap for an hour or two. Did you finally play it, Jonah? And I also finished Frog Factions, but this is an hour-long game at most. I tried the farming simulator game on the Vita and just didn't get it. I had no idea what to do, and I rather closed it quickly. By the way, the farming simulator game is on the Vita? Really? Because I only know it on the PC, really.
Please tell me you took 60 seconds out of your life to try Quap.
Yeah. Maybe if I was a PC gamer, I would pay more attention to those quirky titles. GameStop lawsuits? Didn't it say on the box that the game requires an online pass to play online? Or does it say online pass included? Anyway, I know it's different there because across the pond, but it feels obvious to me that an informed gamer should know that a game like the ones you mentioned required an additional purchase. Also, the person at the counter should... excuse me. Also, the person at the counter should tell the buyer that this is the case. And by the way, I think that's the point. I think the person at the counter did not say it. And that's why at McDonald's, the cups say, caution, contents are hot. Because one person sued for getting burned by hot coffee from McDonald's. So now they have to say that the coffee is hot. Yeah. To make a lawsuit out of it seems to be over the top. No, if you're going to make money out of it, why not? I always tend to investigate things in detail before I buy something used. Do I need some additional components? Are the cables included? Do the codes work? It's on me to find this out, although it's always nice to be informed about it by the seller. Just makes life easier. At the question of the week. Currently, I'm pretty much exclusively a console gamer. I only own a crappy laptop computer I work on. I don't feel like buying a gaming machine. That said, I divide my electronic devices at home. PC equals work. Console equals games. I used to be a PC gamer some 10 years ago. I didn't own a console between the NES and the PS3. It was the pirate boom era in Poland when everyone knew a game dealer, or everyone knew someone who knew a game dealer, who would make compilation CDs of games with the audio stripped down and the video cutscenes deleted, etc. You get a CD with 10 to 20 games for an equivalent of maybe $5 to $10. I quickly decided this was not the perfect way to experience games, and I preferred buying games less often, but with a higher production value. What are you?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm playing Quap right now.
Ultimately, I got tired.
I made it 6 meters in Quap. Yay!
Ultimately, I got tired of trying to keep up with the hardware. I had less time to game with the other things on my mind, such as studies, friends, girlfriend. So I drifted away from all of it. I came back to gaming with Fallout 3, the best RPG series of all time, as Eric mentioned, and switched it to the PS3 then. Okay. So next week, we're going to have a gaming history that's very near and dear to hearts to the Amiga owners out there, although some C64. We won't say what it is, but we'll just tease it with a Chrome Owl.
Chrome Owl, yes. And maybe some music, some digitized music featuring lots of flutes.
We're going to repeat the question of the week. Where do you do most of your gaming, console or PC? Because we only had one letter this week, so
yeah,
might as well.
More letters. Of course, it is summertime. People are probably on vacation and stuff.
Or they're playing their video games. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, visit us at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or the forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum, or send us your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can also check out our gaming news at GameStudio.com. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments.
Yay, iTunes comments!
And the question of the week, again, which do you do most of your gaming on, console or PC? Jordan already said console by default.
Yeah, pretty much.
I waver between the two.
More or less exclusively console gamer.
I have a gaming rig, but I also have a console.
I have too many other things to do with my computer.
Oh, God, I hope I have a nice bank account by the time the Xbox One is released.
Well, if you have a nice bank account by the time the Xbox release, you soon will not have a nice bank account. So
no, but you know what? I think it'll be worth it. And
I inherited a little bit of money, and I am officially out of debt, so I'm in good shape.
Inherit money. I just have to wait for someone to die and leave me money, too.
There you go.
Or just have a song come out that's a smash hit, whichever comes first.
That works, too.
Yeah. So anyways, I will see you next week, and we will have a fantastic gaming history because me and Jordan have fond memories of this company.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So see you next week.
Bye. 6 meters in Quap. Yay!